Okay, I'd like to call to order the October 26th Mountain Regional Water Administrative Control Board. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay, and then I do think you will go into executive session. Do we want to do that at the beginning or do we want to wait until the end?
Thank you.
Since Jessica, right?
Yes.
Okay, since Jessica's here, maybe we'll save it till the end? Okay. Okay, so let's move on to the consent agenda. Did anyone have any changes to the 2 cents a minute? And does anyone have any questions on the check register?
I have one. Bilko, Amsbury, Truth, Hubbard for some people. Well, number two. Could you call it?
I called that.
Yeah. Good job. All right.
What you say is
it's a lid for a vault.
It's a vault lid. It
opens up.
It's a hatch. It's a hatch.
Got it.
Okay. Let's see if I called any other.
Okay.
You're up, Karen.
When a customer signs up and pays their impact fee, they pay a deposit of $1,500. Once they get their meter installed, final inspection, and are approved on the system, we give them that $1,500 back. So it's just a refund of a deposit that they give.
Kind of a timing thing?
Yeah, so they would have all paid, and we just have a lot of people getting their final inspections right now. So that's why a lot of checks for $1,500.
I had two questions. The first one was Audi Wheeler. It looked like they had $10,000 insurance for him.
Yeah, it was to cover three properties over 7 days, so they do a lot of day repairs.
Are they all in,
two of the three of them. One was in Village Round.
Just landscaping, no concrete work.
Just landscaping.
Just landscaping. Asphalt work now to see if payment has been back for asphalt repair. Because we kind of got in that problem with that one customer where we repaired the driveway, then they didn't like it, we were kind of caught in the middle. So now we always have them get a contractor and we just reimburse them.
Their bill wasn't paid, so they leaned up or they tried to
clean up. And so we just paid up together a letter that basically, if we're going to give you this money, we have no further claim because you got the contractor, you decided what to do.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
And that just recently happened?
We've had a few of those this year.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. And then we had a $3,900 EDM partners for two, like a property in Summit Park and a property in Glenwell.
There are an engineering firm who's working on the Glenwell loop for next year. They're doing the design work on that. And they're also finishing up the Summit Park ladder, the line replacement this year. So
okay.
That's the engineering.
Perfect. Okay, that was, oh, and then what is GoKeyless?
Oh, that one too!
Yeah.
It's a keypad to the remote site.
Okay.
All of our remote sites and that is keypad instead of keys. I think just avoid these errors in the first place, or questions in the first place, but I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah, fine.
We're good.
It's like I'm on the spectrum.
Well, and a few of them, if you call them ahead of time, I think you could probably put in like 3 or 4 words and then we probably win next. So
the trouble is once they're in,
can't change it.
I can't change it.
Yep. Okay. About that. That's great. Okay.
Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. Okay, then we are on to the water impact fee facility plan updates.
Open that or
Any on station or?
Yeah, so there's really no more update other than that the county council did approve to move from the IFFP to the IFA. Nothing's changed from the information that we presented over the last couple meetings. Unless anyone has any questions.
Okay, so shall we move on to the discussion of and consideration of approval of standby fee contract for prepaid owned by NAPCO?
We
I don't know if anyone has any questions after reading the memo, but the district, this has kind of been a thorn on the district side for many years. If we all look back to Bob Larson, the district took Bob Larson to court over not paying standby fees. There was a settlement agreement that was agreed to. Larson lost the prepaid in a bankruptcy. A person by the name of Whitney Payton bought those out of bankruptcy court. And for whatever reason, the district stopped charging the standby fees. But based on the contract and the water certificate that we have, standby fees should have been collected all along. Matt Lowe since acquired those from Whitney Payton, and the district continued not to charge those. I'm the new guy reading agreements and asking the question, why not? Like, I asked Dave, so Dave, why aren't we? He goes, well, you should be. So back in August, July, we sent Matt Lowe a bill for
$28,000, $29,000.
For the
pension? Well, no, that was it for one.
No, month. So one of the things is I didn't feel right that we could go backwards that far. Since he hadn't been paying them, we had a meeting with Matt, his office person, Dave, Steve, and I, and he kind of said, well, wait a minute, you never charged me before, why are you charging me now? And it's a contractual obligation of, you know, based on a certificate. And so what Matt has asked for is if we would be amenable to agreeing to a lesser standby fee. These are kind of convoluted because there are some prepays. Larson did bring in a source years ago and some other things, so they are a little different than our normal standby fee. So I'm asking for the board's approval to charge him 50% of our current standby fee, and that standby fee would continue to rise as we increase fees proportionately. So if we raise fees 4%, next year, that amount would also increase. So we could go into collecting zero on these standby fees to 50%.
So okay. We're effectively resetting the contract terms with a new standby fee starting today. We're not gonna try to collect any back standby fees that are technically owed.
Correct.
And we could pursue, and we're gonna give them a break in the future.
Correct.
Is there a justification for that? I'm kind of missing something here because we're getting bit twice.
I'm in the same boat. I was totally confused. I didn't understand why we're getting a 50% break and not collecting all that back.
Part of what happened is that with a former GM and they were going to bind these, when Matt Lowe was wanting to buy them from Whitney Payton. So he contacted Whitney Payton. Whitney Payton was not paying a standby fee, so that was represented to Matt Lowe,
new buyer,
into the new buyer. So Matt Lowe's price that he paid for those assumed that there would be no standby fee. So he would have had to.
That's his risk.
That's his risk. Yeah. But there were documents internal that Scott Green had prepared saying that we don't charge a standby fee. So that's why they hadn't been charged. So it's a little bit of it is his risk, but at the same time, it was represented at the time of closing. Scott Morrison did sign that, but it wouldn't be paid charge.
One question, nobody. Scott had signed something saying
He signed the transfer, and I think all along it was kind of understood that they wouldn't be charged.
So they don't have a document from Mount Regional saying they would not be charged.
Correct.
They just assumed that.
Correct.
But we have internal documents that say it.
So if they get a freedom of information.
Got into a lawsuit with them, they would discover that.
Yeah, okay. I'm seeing that connection. Okay.
So when we met with Dave, on the advice of counsel, said that we could negotiate this.
So I fully understand why we would quote unquote forgive the past, but what's the basis of cutting future in half?
Because he brought source into the district. There were other contributions made by Larson that these shares, these prepaids are based on. It's not just a normal
standby fee that, you know, you're in the middle of a development, you have a wired connection, you're paying a standby fee, they don't bring anything. So other assets were contributed to the district. So in recognition of that, we felt the discount was appropriate.
What were the assets? Are we still using them?
Well, 10.
Question was, not this is not too relevant. Was Matt nice? I mean, was he, wasn't?
That's relevant.
Well, you know, he was a little put off at first, and he had his attorney on the phone too, and, you know, we all agreed that he does owe them, and then he said, you know, is there anything you can do?
The good guy discount.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Matt Lowe because I was on the
planning
planning commission, and was on the I helped him out quite a bit on the project that's working over here. That's why I kind of asked the questions. I mean, it obviously doesn't give a right to be a prick. I mean, he needs to be nice. I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but I guess I have a problem if we, what's the term?
I don't think this would set a precedent against other standby fees based on contributions that Larson originally made to the district. If these were normal standby fees, then I think we would treat them the same, but because they are a little different, and frankly, no one really understood this whole agreement going back, you know, to 1988.
How many dollars are we talking about? If we could quantify them in past dollars and then future dollars.
They go down every month when each one turns over to be paid for new lots. But it's about 640 ELPs out. So half of that may be like 325 acres. So roughly about $28,000 was the first month we turned in some, so $27,000, $26,000. So now we're talking about that revenue being half, and it'll continue to drop.
Per month.
Per month.
And how many years are we forgiving at $30,000 a month?
He bought them, geez, when did he buy them?
2021, 2 years. Well, going back to Payton's.
But if we have a skeleton in the closet with that document that's got,
I'm just trying to wrap my head around,
a number.
So yes. Scott Reed had prepared the document to Scott Morrison and then helped facilitate the transfer between Whitney Payton and Matt Lowe.
It's significant.
We're talking half of a plant here.
We're in charge.
Yeah.
It's significant.
So, I
guess my question is also, to go off of Corey, are we giving this away?
I don't think we're giving it away. I mean, we can say you can decide to charge them the full amount, and we can go to court.
Well, I guess my question then is, what do you think?
I think collecting half is better than zero.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm not prone to get in a legal fight over something that I think there was an error on the district's part by not collecting them all along. And I think, and I will say, Matt, in good faith, when we when he wanted to sell, we kind of strong-armed him, and he did pay in full $60,000.
Yeah, he paid for the first 2 months, because he basically said, we can't take your prepaid until you turn on your bill. So they did pay just under $60,000.
So he, in good faith, you know, made a payment toward the district. And so what I would like to do is to recognize the payment that he's made, apply it for a couple months, and then in January have him start paying.
If we went to court, and I guess I'm asking you and both of you, and anybody else, do you think we win or do you think we lose? And if you can, what the legal costs be I mean, roughly.
I mean, it all depends on how far the litigation goes. Litigation is expensive. And, you know, in these kinds of cases, as kind of we've found out over time, although everybody comes in with their positions and was what the contract says, you know, they're going to put on what's called an estoppel argument and say, hey, but you guys are stopped because of your past conduct. Look at all these internal memos and so forth and so on. What in the end you're going to get from the judge is probably some kind of splitting of the baby, as it were, the King Solomon approach. And that's usually how these kind of contract claims come out. So, and basically what we're doing, what Andy's proposing is split the baby now, save the time and the cost. Yeah, maybe the court would come out and say it's 75-25 instead of 50-50, but maybe he wouldn't.
What you're saying, it's a tough call.
It is, simply because you would have to go back to the history behind all of this, because the contracts and the way they've been interpreted over time has been somewhat ambiguous. You would probably, the court would open up what's called parole evidence, which is evidence outside of the contract itself. And this goes back to 1988. And so as a result of that, if you get into discovery, you're going to have to go back and start deposing people, you know, from that time period that may have documents or recollections of how this, you know, contract came together, what, you know, what the gives and takes of it are. And that's why it could become fact specific and it could become a lot more expensive, because depositions are expensive. You have to pay for people to come to the court reporters, so forth. You know, deposition will cost you $5,000 a shot. And a case like this, you may need to depose 20 people.
That's a lot of money.
And then you start building up costs. So you have to do kind of the cost benefit analysis of, okay, well, you know, what's the risk to the district? What's the, what's the potential reward for this? And you have to decide.
So these are tied to Silver Creek Village.
They are not tied to anywhere specific in the district. They can be used anywhere in the district.
And that's one of the other problems with these.
How long do we anticipate that he's going to hold these before he utilizes them? Do we have a crystal ball there?
We have two realtors here that are saying things are slowing down.
How many are there?
It's now down to about 615 ERP. It could be 5 years.
It's substantial.
That's a lot.
It could be forever.
I mean, yeah. We met with Matthew Aguima the other day, and they're now projecting a 12 to 14 year absorption rate as opposed to a 5 or 6.
What's the current standby fee?
$45
a month.
Yes.
I mean, part of me feels like splitting the baby is also forgiving the previous stuff.
That's kind of where I'm falling, based on what I've heard. Is, you know, we're giving on both ends here, and to what end?
It was turmoil back then, though, because that was right when Scott Morris started, wasn't it?
It was cool. He'd been in for a while, but it was more the
Scott Green was still here.
No, Scott Green was gone.
Yeah, I think this is Andy Armstrong signed a certificate when Whitney Caton acquired.
So basically from 2013 on, they hadn't been charged, but that's when Whitney Caton picked those up himself.
And that's where there's an, and that's in that time period, there's an internal document from Scott Green saying we're not going to charge.
There's an internal document that he gave me that says that.
Okay.
Which was later on. So there was an interpretation, and like they said, there could be history that we don't have knowledge of, that those folks have knowledge of, that their interpretation of that contract was different. Andy's interpretation is different than former management's interpretation because they were never billed, you know, since 2013 after that lawsuit.
But this,
so like they said, you know, if we want to go to discovery and try to figure out, I'm sure you could probably get to the bottom of it. But yeah, there was a concerted effort. I mean, there's, you know, evidence that those were not to be charged for that. Those standby fees. There were other prepays that did get charged standby fees. These were specifically directed to not be charged standby fees and never were after the lawsuit was settled. So, I mean, in my opinion, I feel like you're opening yourself up to a lot if you start to try to ring that bell. I think, you know, going forward, I think I agree with Dave that we need to come to some compromise, but I think at the end of the day, you'll probably end up with that compromise.
Or
maybe
thing,
something worse if there is something discovered where we, this is not the interpretation that actually exists.
There are other cases where the district did not charge. Going back to Larson, and the district did forgive those fees, so I think there's a precedent of doing that. It's not to the same magnitude as we're talking about today.
So if he holds all 650 of these, 615, 650?
It started at 650, but he's currently 750.
If he holds them all for 5 years, by my numbers, we're just over $2 million, so we're talking about $1 million that we're potentially forgiving, give or take.
Going forward. Oh yeah, going forward.
Right. Going back, you're talking probably close to 6 or 7 million. But going forward, we're really probably talking about $1 to $2 million.
Depending on how long he holds them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. That just helps me kind of understand what we're talking about here.
And when you talk about going back, there is a statute of limitations. So even if you wanted to go back,
yeah,
you could only go back 4 years. You couldn't go back to 2013. You can go back to, you know, basically 2019.
When would they have to bring in a witness paper, man?
When they say 2020?
They're filled in December of 21. That was... February of 22.
So it was within the last 4 months. Most of the here that map will purchase them from what you pay.
When did Scott Morrison start?
He was GM in 2020. That was sooner than that. It was of 2018.
Okay.
No,
because I started in 2018, but I only met Andy Armstrong a couple of times. And then Scott, we had the interim, so maybe it was the beginning of 2019 that Scott was in June.
End of 2018, yeah.
End of 2018. Yeah.
Do we have like a soft handshake deal that he would accept 50%?
Yeah, okay. We have a verbal.
Okay.
But I didn't.
This is not going to set precedent in any way, right?
No, because this prepaid certificate is totally different than any other standby that we currently have.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But the standby, you know, the standby fee is what it is. I mean, you know, it's our actual cost to preserve all this water rights and, you know.
Again, but the difference in with this one is he brought a source to the district with water rights. So what Larson did, and that's because the successor to that. So they are a little different. So it's not a one-to-one comparison. So that's why I think they are slightly different.
Which may explain some of the reason why Scott Graham said they weren't charging.
Right.
Those are the things that we would have to find out and discover.
The other piece of information on these standbys, is there not a full standby fee that covers the full impact fee, like what he had previously? They only cover about 40%. No, they cover about 60% of the impact fee. So now every lot that he turns them in on, we still get 40% of our normal impact fee. That may have gone into it too. I don't know. Because the other ones where he was paying standby fee on before and he knew and we were collecting it for years, they would cover the full impact fee. These only cover 60% of the impact fee. So we still get some money when he turns them in from the customer itself.
So we need the standby, you know, because we have to be ready to serve.
Correct.
Right? That's
correct.
That's the deal. That's why it's expensive, because we've got infrastructure there.
Well,
we're paying for the water.
Because these are wild cards, though. They're not assigned to any specific area. There may or may not be current infrastructure in that area. These are not like any other standbys that we have that have a pipe and a connection running by them.
So anywhere in the district.
Anywhere.
It was one of the arguments that Matt Lowe's attorney made was that because these were different in that all the impact fee had not been paid, there was still 40% left, that under our rules and regulations, they don't have to pay standby fees until they actually have paid the impact. And I mean, that's one of the arguments they made. I think we can get around that argument, but I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, I've had lots of people come in and make frivolous arguments that my position is, okay, I guess I'll see you in court. This one, there are potential issues that I can see coming up through discovery in court that would make a judge want to split the claim.
Just save the time getting there.
Yeah. Save the time and expense getting there.
And then we'd start collecting.
And then if we do settle for half, we know that they will.
We will now, I'll have Dave draft a separate agreement clearly outlining the expectation of what should be paid going forward.
And what if we agree to this, what are we going to do with the money that we get from that? Or
it would help with the revenue that we are getting. So just help future rate increases maybe not be as much. I mean, because you're talking maybe $200,000, let's say next year. So, but that's 1% potentially to our base as a rate increase, let's say. So it could, but the money will help drop expenses for other customers, let's say.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further discussion?
Do we need to take this up tonight?
Yeah. We need to make a motion. Or somebody needs to make a motion. Does anyone want to make a motion?
Are we all out on the table on this, opinion-wise? I'm comfortable with Dave and Andy's recommendation.
But if you don't think a 50% split is right, and you think it's a 75-25 or whatever, I mean, this is just what we verbally talked about. I told him that I needed to bring it to you. So if you think there's another arrangement, I mean, we can just end up going back and forth.
This is just my opinion. I would rather see you horse-trade than just agree for the sake of agreeing, if you know what I mean. But I want to hear from everybody else. I just don't want to give this shop away.
My opinion is I'd like to avoid potentially going to court.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
He's got a bubble right
but,
now and he's
comfortable. I mean, we can set a maximum and then we can set a minimum. So if we get down to 50% from whatever, let's say 75, 25, I mean, you'll know what you can do. Does that make sense?
I would rather have you, if you're going to make a motion, make a specific motion. If it's not 50-50, that's not the motion. make something specific 75-20, not to range.
I think I was at 60.
But something that you're comfortable with that then Andy can take back.
Thank you.
Well, you know, I think I trust you guys and be there with the negotiations and kind of their posture. And it sounds like enough money to fight over. You know, that's $300,000. It would be the full price, right?
Should we go with the executive if we're going to start talking litigation? I guess
that's
my question.
I know, I was
sick.
You can if you want.
I think you probably should.
I move we go into executive session.
Yeah.
Second.
Do we want to go into executive discussion right now? Maybe play also. We have other stuff.
Let's do all of it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous.
Good chance, but.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Okay. So, no, don't we need to make a motion?
Yep. Yes, on number five.
So let's make a motion on, the standby fee contract for, Matt Lowe. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Sure. So motion to approve standby fees contract for prepaids owned by Matt Lowe per the discussion by the board.
At 50%.
At 50%.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
David, you can just help when you get through the bond document.
That's your hand, but...
No, but that's the other two.
Yeah. Those painfully easy.
We got there.
Okay, on to my favorite discussion and considerations for recommendation of the 2024 tentative budget. And 2023 proposed amended budgets.
Great. Well, if you read budgets before and then read this one, you notice that it was more concise. We tried to keep it a little friendlier to just everybody to be able to read and get through it, hit the high points, tried to consolidate some areas instead of talking about 23 and then talking about 24, like four pages later, and talking about debt covenant ratio in like five different places, kind of tried to put it all together. So the presentation will go over usage and production, some numbers, growth, then revenue and expenses, the debt ratio, our cash position, our capital budget for the 2 years, kind of a summary of what the amendments are that we're looking for, and then just a summary of what the 2024 budget is. So I've been advised that pictures might be good. We finally have pictures.
Chris, don't walk on the pictures.
So, guy replacing the water filtration system and a couple of pump stations. So, hopefully, county will appreciate those. Okay.
What are you going to say to the county when you pull that slide up?
No, it makes it more real. That's not cheap stuff.
I'm sorry.
Do you have like a, you know, like a set phrase you want to say when this slide comes up with the county council? Like
verbiage. Oh, okay. I will put some very specific verbiage together.
I think it's awesome. I think it's an opportunity to highlight that. We have one of the best looking water systems in the state of Utah, and these pictures talk to us.
Yeah, exactly. If you turn the angle so that you can see the insulation falling down, maybe it'll take it more seriously.
The volume of what we have to do to get water down.
Yep.
I think that's what.
Nope, that's good.
But if anybody has any narrative comments that they'd like to pass on to me, I'm always open.
The other thing for our budget presentation next week, we're going to be limited to 15 minutes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's okay.
So I may add this twice. So next year, just a projection kind of that gives a concept of who we are, that next year we're sending 600 acre feet of smart water, projecting Park City about 1800 acre feet. That's what they did before this year when they really needed to rely on us for Three Kings, promontory irrigation, that's kind of going back to more of a historical usage with them, adding a third course is how do we get to that number, and then our own MRW customers. So this year we're projected to be around 6,000 acre feet that we bill and charge for. Next year it'll drop. The big drop is actually Park City.
And this is a mix of finished and raw water.
If you kind of look at purple and the green, that's raw. Yellow and blue would be finished part. So kind of half circle. Yeah. And that's always kind of been the split, about 50-50.
That's really good.
All right.
That is a good
guess. And then this is, you've seen this before, kind of our tracking of culinary usage by connection over an average year. Interesting, we've talked about the 2020 kind of spike, the 2021 kind of an average year, 2022 we drove down because of our drought rates. The interesting thing is 2023 is coming very close to 2022, but it's more because of a wet June and a wet September, so the irrigation season really got tightened up. But it's kind of a good point of information.
Conservation.
And conservation.
Because we've grown more base.
We've grown more base, and we have more customers. It's just that each customer is using about the same. So we have more usage this year, but it's kind of just because of more customers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to the next slide. So, Mike, this is the pie chart at the very beginning is basically 2024 bar in a pie. But this is kind of the historical ups and downs you've seen where 2020 was really high. You'll see in 2023, the purple, that's Park City, that's really big. They're taking a lot of water this year. We're losing a lot to them. The yellow, it's somewhat water where the high point was 1,100 acre feet in 20 and 21. The last 22 and 23 is 700 acre feet, next year at 600. But you can see the blue, that's our own customers. So the blue kind of constant, 22, 23, projecting it to go back up in 2024. All right.
Oh, minor comment on that one.
Yes.
So the conversation we had on the pie graph at the beginning.
Yes.
Which you could really clearly show that 50-50 split of raw versus finished. If you move the yellow down next to the blue, you do that same analogy here. Of your raw next to your
okay.
finished water.
I got you. Okay.
Just have them side by side and it would show that 50% kind of trend all the way through.
Okay. Thank you.
It's minor, but it might help with explaining at a high level to people that don't pay attention to this all the time.
Yeah, you could also
County Council.
Shade of blue. Like a lighter shade of blue, a darker shade of blue, or raw. They were looking for the finished water, so they look similar.
Now we're really geeking out.
No, I can't, but I ask one more question. So knowing that we've got an extra, you know, 500 acre feet, would we consider putting that on the table to sell that to some water or not?
We can't because, oh, go ahead.
It's not within the 5-year, 10-year Exhibit D. We would
so it's gotta be an Exhibit
D. Yeah, so we would have had to put it on before, but the district made a decision to start pulling it off. And then the settlement water comes off. That sunsets in December of 2025, which is 400 acre feet. We've talked about once the treatment plant is brought up to 5 plus MGD, if there'd be an opportunity to then put water back on the table, but that would be longer than the short term.
And the big change next year is in raw water, in the purple water to Park City that's just wheeled, so it doesn't feed back to the culinary water that we could easily sell, let's say.
Gotcha.
That's another good point.
Yeah. All right. So kind of talking about growth. We've got a picture of Silver Creek in 2020. You know, lots of flats, lots of dirt, and now you see in 2023. Because a lot of those structures, I mean, those are big structures, big apartments, complexes, things like that, parks going in. So if you look at different areas in the district, you can kind of do this before and after, and it's pretty, but this is probably the most stark, easy to see. So I wanted to kind of hit how much the district is growing to you and to council when we get there. Okay. So,
and you showed us the build out for that at one point, but is it more than where they've currently moved earth?
Yes.
Is there more, there's more build out to the west, right?
There is.
A lot of that's the red district.
Yeah.
A lot of it is, but they've got the Deer Ridge development coming out.
Yeah, that's a little bit down below.
And there's more, this road kind of comes out and ties in with another road over here.
Okay, so that whole lobe's going to go
in. Yeah.
But, and no further west than that?
The rec district.
They own all that. Okay, cool. All right, thank you. Sorry.
No.
Question.
So new water connections, you kind of see we were very consistent 2014 through 2020, had the COVID inspired driven 2021, 2022 growth. This year now we're projecting 140. We're at like 125 right now. So a few more will come in the next couple of months. Next year, budgeting looking at about 130, kind of continuing that we've gone back to kind of more of a historical growth than the rapid growth we saw in 21 and 22.
And Steve, you're 120 through now or through September?
I'm 125 through today. Through my update through today.
Do you think we'll hit the 140?
Yeah. I think we'll get a few more rolling in. I signed a lot of impact fees today. Well, yeah. And that's not a budget number, so that's not as key. It's just kind of informational. But I think we'll get there. The next slide mimics the one before, because this is the impact fees, where you can see they were kind of consistent through a lot of years there, had the really big years. This year, we budgeted 600, projecting 800 right now, and as of today, that's 792,000. We got a $60,000 colony impact fee like this week, so that really helped. For next year, I'm budgeting the same 800,000 at this point, because even though there's fewer connections, the impact fee analysis that's currently taking place shows that there will be an increase. And as I kind of mentioned earlier, in Silver Creek, a lot of those new connections, in fact, they're going to get anything. Now, at least now we're going to get 40% of the impact fee for anything new that Matt Lowe turns in. So that's why I'm still thinking we could get 800 with fewer connections. And Karen had some really good, Karen gets a preview as the finance chair and chair. And she had some good questions about that. So it's helped me think through it a little bit more. And I said, if this is tentative, if we see anything really dramatic change, we can still make a change before it's finally approved in December. Revenue. We don't like it, but people using water is how we actually make money. So the big thing for 2023 to notice is our water sales are going to come in under budget, which makes sense because we had lost half of June, probably lost half of September. Park City Wheeling is coming in above budget, so we're going to use that to help offset that a little bit. And then our interest earnings is a lot higher. That's where the biggest variance to our budget for this year is, that we're going to make over $1 million in interest earnings this year. For 2024, you'll see we've got a growth of in water sales up to 11.6 million, 9.8%. So that's a combination of the 8% planned rate increase and usage kind of going back to more normal. I don't think it'll be as low as it was in 22 and 23, and growth. So I'll get to the 9.8. Park City will come back down because now that they'll have Three Kings up and running, they'll probably go back to like more historical usage of Quinn. Weaver Basin goes down because we're cropping 100 acre feet. And operating fees, that's basically meter connections as we install them. And we've installed a lot this year, so I just don't think we're going to be doing as many install connections. The interest earnings line is probably the most important one to look at on the bottom. So you see we've got interest earnings of 1.2 million, which is even higher than this year. That is because when the bond comes in at that 18 million, we are not spending that all right away. So we can invest that and make, a lot of money to help make that payment that first year. So I've been conservative and I still think that's a good number for there. So that's why the jump there, impact fees, as we talked about, 800,000. The special assessment, those are all the community water, promontory, stagecoach. I just kind of clumped them together. We used to put those all as separate line items, but they're just assessments that basically pay your own bond. And other non-operating, that's like inspection fees and things like that. So look for a total revenue budget to increase 12.2%. The operating revenue only 5.5%. The big increase is again that interest earnings and the revenue for next year. All right. Next slide. Expenses. We might find even some more snowy, cold, dark pictures. Yes, Ian.
Question. On the 8%, we're still not approved on that, though. We have to go through that process
first. We have to go through that process. We'll have a rate hearing on November 16th for that.
Yep. And then council approves budget a couple months after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed.
Okay. I think we'll be okay. Expenses, wanted to show them, yes, you know, a lot of things happen. operations, administration, both going up. That, as I mentioned in before, the 8.7% increase in operating expenses, combination of merit COLA and actual increases we're seeing in cost of things. Then the interest expense on the next line, on the second down, that's where the payment on the loan comes in. So that's why we jumped from under $1 million to almost $2 million. So basically $1 million interest payment, but we're going to make $1 million almost in interest earnings that have lost at that for that first year. So that's a big change. So operating expense budget increasing 8.7% from the 2023 budget. Our debt ratio, as you know, this is often what drives our rate increases because we have to make sure we stay above that 1.25 for our bond covenants. For 2023, we budgeted the bottom line highlighted in pink or mauve or whatever that color is. 1.58 is what we budgeted. We're looking at coming in about 1.84 because of interest earnings and impact fees. Because the actual, like I mentioned before, water sales are coming in under, and we're saving a little, and we're saving in expenses as well. For 2024, we're budgeting 1.49. That would spin off $1.9 million. We have to put some in Lost Canyon Treatment Plant reserves. We have to put some in a reserve with the state, and leaves us about $1 million to add to the capital budget projected for 2025. This year, you see the fact that we've done better. We're almost going to be able to put $2 million into capital projects out of this year's results. When we started the year, we were thinking 1.4. So that'll help pay for future capital projects. And this highlights all the money stays within. We're not for profit. Anything we're over just goes in to help capital projects in the future. All right. But the 1.49 is it about, I think that'll keep us above the 1.25 in a safe range. Our cash position, total cash, so there's a portion of cash that we send basically to escrow to make our bond payments at the end of the year. So if you exclude that, we still have over $21 million. Our reserves exceed 300 days of operating expense policy requires 120. You'll see that it has decreased this year because we've been paying for planned capital projects out of some of those funds, those reserves, things like that. So that makes sense. Nothing to concern. It's, we wanted to do the tank. We wanted to do the line replacement. We want to do these things. So, but still in a really good position as a district overall.
I always thought if we had too much cash, it makes it feel like we could have the rates to buy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So this will be this next couple of years where we've got some good plans to spend money. This will help bring it down that we don't have the rates to buy. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was kind of that during the last couple of years, it was hard to get things completed because of supply chain and issues and everything else. So I mean, we'll get back on more of a pattern. Sam has developed a nice pattern of one big, one medium, and one small project every year. We're going to kind of try to work through the flow over here.
Where do you forecast we'll be at the end of 2024 number of days? I think we're going to drop a little because it seems like we've been floating it.
I think
in that range for, what, 2 years now? So
I still think, like, the 300 is more like 350. I think we'll be around 300 or maybe just under by the end of 2024.
So we're going to stay the same.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, for 300 days, over 300 days is more like 350. I think we'll drop about 50 days. So we might be just under 300 days, let's say. But it's, I mean, that's, it's going to drop a lot right now because we haven't finished paying for the tank or the line yet.
And we've got the CRSA and we've got Oakland, which all came out of current reserves.
Yeah.
So that's another $2 million. We haven't paid Oakland anything yet. And we have solar already to do too. So we're, I don't know the number. We know the exact number, but I think that's going to come down closer to 200. And I think we've talked about before that I think 120 is low. I think the district had, you know, trouble keeping a cash reserve and it's very in its infancy. I'd like to see that number maybe closer to 180 for our policy kind of come up a little bit. So I have that in the works to, in the winter, we slow down a little bit to redo our policies to maybe make that 180. Okay. And then Steve and I at the same time think of doing it. Well, we're going to go through the capital budget, but now that we've kind of got these things finalized, we're getting our bond flows, we can really take a good look and see where we kind of want that to be, I think, going forward and then by the end of next year. Because I do think this is going to come down more. I mean, I don't think it's working. It grew a lot just because the impact fees went so crazy. Yeah. And we've had so many hot, dry years. That revenue, we were just collecting more cash than we ever thought we were going to during COVID, and then there were no capital projects getting completed. So it was
double whammy. And then when we start treatment plans, if we do have reserves, we could use that to minimize the amount of capital financial situation.
And we're also going to roll out our asset management plan next year that hopefully will
start some more projects. Yeah, doing projects.
So, there's always that natural drop in December when we pay the basis about 1.8 for the lease fees for the next year.
Yeah.
And we won't be collecting as much from the rebate through water sale.
Yeah. As the amount we send in some water drops for the next couple of years.
Mike, are you good with that? Just to, per your comment of maybe being uncomfortable with how high it was and the perception of, you know, we've got so much cash on hand, why are we raising rates?
Yeah, it was COVID and greedy.
You're good with that.
And it wasn't the race that you thought.
It's just kind of a backlog of capital projects.
Yeah.
You know. All right. And then, so capital projects, more pictures. For those of you who haven't, that's the new Summit Park tank in the far right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It does look nice, doesn't it?
It does.
And then the solar array, that's kind of there. It's not an actual picture if you can't tell. And then our building next year just highlights some capital projects we've completed and then what we're going to do next year.
And the other thing too that we haven't spent or paid for is all of the infrastructure work and the mass exits done over. So we have quite a few things that we need to pay for. Yeah.
Good. Just for perception.
Yeah.
Karen had a couple of good questions about this one. I've added a column for 2023 approved amendments. As you recall, we've already gone to council this year before to approve the solar array and the additional money for Oakland and things like that. So that's kind of stuff they've already approved, that $2.5 million. The only one we're requesting right now is we have saved some money on the Summit Park tank. The Browns Canyon connection was at the time coming in estimated a little over, so we just are going to reallocate that money down there. The column, as all of these, the limits highlights our request. This is what we really requested from the council, that we're going to request $27 million in approval for capital expenditures, $17 million for the office, $1 million for treatment plant expansion. The old ranch is a large project that Sam's got online for next year. And there's some other projects in there. So, this would look much more like our normal ones if we weren't doing the building. But you can see the series 2023 bond issuance coming in at the top, $18 million that we get that pays for the $17 and the $1 million. So that's how that fits into the capital budget. This is the one budget that you call rolls over. This isn't, if we don't spend it this year, it stays in the project until we, you know, finish that project or move it to another project. So once it's allocated, it's allocated out. All right. Thanks, Chris. So kind of review the amendments we're asking for. Operating revenues coming in less than we expected, but fortunately expenses are coming in less as well, so they just kind of offset. We're taking some of our non-operating revenue increase, the interest income, to offset a non-operating expense increase, which was the interest on the land that we bought from Summit County. So those just offset. So we're not changing what we told them we were going to make. We're going to make more, and that's in the projection, but it's kind of easy. We only amend the budget to keep it at what we told them before. Our original 2023 capital budget request is $5 million by the end of the year because we've added the solar array and the things for the building is $7.5 million. And then our budget for 2024, kind of in a nutshell, so we're projecting or budgeting $16.6 million in revenue, $14.3 million in expenses, a change in net position of $2.3 million. This year it's $2.5 million, so it's really close, you know, like $100,000 less. And our capital budget request is $20 million, and our debt service budget is $4.9. That's principal and interest on all of debt, including the new debt. So those are the three budgets they really have to approve in the resolution. So hope you enjoy the new, more concise, move a little quicker through this. Hopefully it gives you the information you need, but not too much information. So, any questions? Mike?
I want to know about the change in that position. It turns into that capital budget?
Yes. Okay. Let's go back to, Chris, the debt ratio slide is probably the best. So that change in that position is $2.3 million. Mm-hmm. That includes the depreciation. But this is the better way to look at what we actually make cash-wise. So the 2024 budget, we take operating income loss, we add back and create depreciation, all those kind of things, pay our debt, and then that tells us the $1.8 million. So even though our net income is $2.3 million, what we really spit out as cash income is $1.9 million that then we can use for capital projects. So the $2.3 doesn't tie specifically to this because of some accounting and what you have to add back and subtract that are non-cash expenses. But that's, if you wanted to say that's our cash income, that is. And then we always allocate it out to reserve or capital projects.
Okay.
You bet.
You're closing on the bond.
Yeah.
Should that be, it needs to be a 2023 capital budget amendment, I think, and not a 2024. Okay. I think it's okay. I think, because they've already approved it, I just think it needs to be in the 2023 proposed amendment rather than in the 2024 since we're closing. Oh. Well, we weren't quite sure, but we are closing next week now.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Okay. Good thought. Thank you.
Okay.
I was already.
Well, I was in it too, but I just was thinking about it when I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, well, we're moving, so we might as well put it in the 2023 line.
And then expenses back out.
Yeah, well, basically the $18 million. In the top section, we'll move to the 2023 proposed amended, and the $1 million and the $17 million, we'll move there too.
To 20.
So we're going to request an amendment, an additional for $18 million, and then our increase for 2024 will just be the $2.7 million.
And one of the reasons why we're closing now is interest rates continue to tick up. So 10 basis points higher than they were 2 weeks ago, and they've since gone up another 10 basis points, but we're kind of locked in.
Good.
So we're trying to coordinate with our attorney to make sure he reached all of the documents and then coordinate signatures, hopefully next Wednesday to close on Friday. Keep going.
That's the idea. Are you going to tell me it's great, guys?
It's, one of the documents, 5.12.
That's the average. Yeah.
Wow. Take it.
Okay. Do we need to make a recommendation?
You need to make a recommendation that we propose this budget to, well, I guess it says it there.
Do we have anyone willing to make a motion to,
recommendation to approve the 2024 tentative budget and 2023 proposed amended budget to the district's governing board.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It's unanimous.
So next Wednesday is when we will present to the county commission. And then their feedback opens up 30 days. If there's anything that changes, we will bring it to you. The November board meeting before we took it back to them for final approval in December 1st.
Great. Okay. Steve, you're still up with financial management.
Quickly, let's see. Change net position, we're at $3.9 million, which is still really good. About an equal savings in, or equal revenue increase and expense savings, kind of talked about in the budget. So we're doing about $1 million better My projection has us finishing the year about 800, 900,000 better than budget. We usually lose a little money in November, December because we're not making much money. So, let's go ahead and scroll down. I won't keep you too much longer. Sales, we've kind of gone over. So just to kind of get September, you can see the fact that this is through the year. So you can kind of see what was lost. That should say January through September. I apologize. But we've lost some residential sales, commercial sales, church, schools, all the people that just use less water. Park City, Wheelies use more, and standby fees. The 80,000, the reason we're so above is because of the 60,000 we billed Matt Lowe that he's paid. So that's why that bottom line is 80,000 better than budget, because I had budget to collect the annual.
Weren't we ahead with schools for a while, or they were using way more than our other customers
were?
Yeah, I thought the school district was too. They didn't turn
their September really kind of turned a lot of things. A lot of people turned off. Schools are big irrigation customers, and if they shut off, you know, mid-September, the first week of September instead of the end of September, it moves the needle a lot.
And they've 1 month put them back that far.
Well, right? And they've got an awful lot of ground that's churned up right now that they're not watering. Every elementary school is under construction in the city.
Marley, they turned off early because of that.
We're going to put Paul on. That's not us.
Jim.
Just Marley's.
Let's go ahead and just take a quick look at the usage. Expenses were kind of the same pattern. We've been a little under budget, so every month we just add a little bit more to our savings. Cash, the $24 million, this is the same number that's in the budget. The growth number, we were at 117 at the end of September. I said we're at 125 now, looking to finish at 140. The 708 impact fees is up to 792 now through October because of those couple of big ones. And promontory is actually back to selling kind of their average lot. They've done some patch up the last month or two. So, year to date, our own customers, so they've used 1,473 acre feet last year, 1410, still below the 4-year average, by about 10%, kind of just showing that this year is a low usage year. And then Park City, kind of referring back to the budget a little bit, they've taken 2,136 acre feet, there you can kind of follow me. If you look at the years above that, the average about 1,700, and if you remember in the budget, I have about 1,800 and change that I think I'll take next year.
So next year they'll go back to average.
Yeah.
What was the bump this year again? Sorry.
I'd say they stopped because they knew they needed to save the remaining to make snow in November, December. So they stopped at 2,136. But they could take in November, December another 500 acre feet easy. So we could end up 2,700 acre feet wheeled to Park City.
That's their max?
Their cap is 29.
29, okay.
And they had some source problems earlier this year. So they were using Queens to make up for that lost source. It's a couple wells that weren't able to run.
And they're in Springs.
Okay.
Capital budget. We'll have a good year-end cap, but kind of went over that a little bit in budget too. But the Summer Park tank is nearly done. Probably make last payment here the next month. And we're hoping the pipeline replacement, we can get that up closed off to this year and not have any retainage rolling over to 2024. Those are just dependent. Go ahead and scroll down to the graph, the infamous graph. So you'll see in September, the blue ended up below 21 and 22. That was not expected. The budget would have been right kind of over the red year. So you can see that September really came in lower than what had been budgeted. So we'll see. October isn't very usage dependent. So hopefully we'll probably be above the line from previous years, and then we should definitely be above the line in November, December because of the growth in pace. Yeah. All right. Anything else on Steve's agenda tonight? I think that's it, right?
Thanks.
Yeah, Steve. That's it for Steve. Yeah, thanks. Now we are on to you, Andy.
Hey, a couple things. I asked Lisa to prepare a survey to go out to the staff that evaluate the staff's opinion on the direction of the district to evaluate me specifically, and then there were some benefit questions. Once all of that is compiled, we will share that with the board at our next meeting. On November 2nd, Lisa and I will be participating in a sustainability event over at the Richens Library. There'll be a couple other people from the county. Initially, Lisa personally received an email inviting her to attend, and they were featuring Weber Basin and Park City, and Lisa asked the question, what about us? And so we invited
good job.
So that'll be over there. We also are engaging Carollo to do not really a peer reviewer, a value engineer on the treatment plant direction. So we hope to get that signed beginning of next week, and then have a letter back from them by the end of the year, just validating the direction that we're going. Alan Domanowski, who actually lives here, might kind of help facilitate this. He's familiar with Park City, the Quinns plant, the intake, things like that. So we didn't think it would be a heavy lift. We'll be spending $10,000 on that to do that. So we'll have that hopefully. I'm not sure if we'll have it in time for the December board meeting, but we will definitely get you the information in January. As Steve mentioned, the IFA is moving along. Steve's been working with, and Sam been working with Bowen Collins and with Zions to hopefully get that. That may run a little later than we expected because we had some pretty aggressive turnaround times. So we might not see that for approval until December, and then 30 days after that is when we could enact it. So we may be a little tardy on that. Joel?
But it'll have the dollar amount of the impact created.
Yes, correct.
The IFFP just kind of sets the stage for it, right?
Correct.
When we're done with that, do you have a sense of...
Projected to be higher, but no known numbers at this point.
What is our impact fee currently?
$8,794. I did see a few numbers today that would support about a 25% increase in that bonus. So, yeah, 12 million, I mean, 12,000, 12 million for impact fees. So I really think we're going to make a lot of money. No, about 12,000 for ERC.
And there will also be a change to the impact fee in farm inventory. The amount that the district can keep as opposed to refunding. And Joel, to answer the question before you pass, I think I've spent more time in Summit Park this past week than Ian has.
Definitely
have. We've had a couple of doozies up there, including a pipe to nowhere. But the staff's done a great job just working through the issues.
Those were my questions about Summit Park. Let me just follow up on that. I was on Park. And I'm not trying to be funny, but are we spending an inordinate amount of time and money on Summit Park?
Since it is the oldest part of the system.
I know.
We are spending time there today. 5 years from now, I mean, Silver Springs is another problem area, but we've also had some problems in Glenwild this past year.
Yeah, I know.
So it's just, I think, based on the age, the older you are, you spend more time at the hospital. Well, this is where we are with Summit Park. We're spending more time triaging. But it's also part of a line replacement project that we've talked about, that we just need to pick it off piece by piece. Unfortunately, these breaks are happening. The bottom line is the lines were put in without any bedding. They're just sitting right on that shale, that rock. And it's just really difficult as time, as the earth moves or heavy trucks go on it. It's just forcing, it's just splitting this pipe. The pipe to nowhere on a week ago, Thursday, Friday, you're chasing a pipe right and left or east and west, and there's this pipe going north that no one knew anything about. And so it's things like that, that the good news is now that we're uncovering the pipe, we're going out there, we're shooting it in, we're getting, you know, depth and elevations and getting a better understanding of what's there. Because unfortunately, a lot of that stuff is just unknown. But the guys really have a great attitude, when they're out there. I mean, Thursday, Friday was very frustrating because
that area is such a mess.
Yeah.
It's just a mess.
Well, like I say, we are spending money there today, but next year, next week, next month, it'll be somewhere else in the district. So.
It was 5 or 6 years old too.
Right, because is this the stuff? It was originally like a summer home development. And it was private, and there were.
Now there's properties up there in the $1 million.
It was all installed incorrectly.
Shallow.
There was potentially no construction oversight. Anyway.
That's why you have like six different
Thank you, Andy.
You are welcome. I just wanted to save the question.
No, thank you, because I was going to ask that question. But I'm one answer. I won't ask it anymore.
So you're good. I'm glad you do.
Next meeting.
That's all I have.
Right. Until next year.
Oh, yeah. So we are going down. Our CUP MPD will be going before the Planning Commission on November 14th. We're going down and meeting with CRSA on Monday, going through some final discussions. Then we're meeting with Oakland next Thursday to do a plan set review. The schedule is to break ground in the spring, start ordering some of the long lead items sooner rather than later. We're still waiting for some answers on the utilities that need to be brought into the site. We need to get a firm answer on what size transformer that we need to get. Rumor is transformers are taking 40 weeks. But we hope to get our plan all or more finalized so we can continue that schedule. If everything goes to plan, we'll be in that building in August of 2025. So that's kind of a rendering of the administration building.
Where's my office?
You know, right now, Joel, you can pick anyone that you want.
Okay.
That top one with the
I'll get back to you.
Yeah. You can pick that one.
That's Joel's.
Yep. What's not shown is the conference room and all that other space. But one of the ways that we're designing this is that this part of the building can get locked off. The kitchen area and the conference rooms would be available for outside people to use, and that way we don't have to stay and babysit. There'll be a roll-down grate that will come over the customer service desk. And then there are two doors on either side, so that can just be a separate space. So if other people...
Do we have a room for expansion in the future?
So, yeah, to the right.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
To the right, it's designed, and we're going to excavate for that now so that in the next 20, 30, 50 years, we could add on another...
Okay. All right. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Three blocks.
Just make sure somebody writes that down.
It'll be in the name. All right. Thanks, Andy. Dave, do you have anything for us?
Nope.
Okay.
The end.
Yeah.
How's the bond reading going, Dave?
I stopped reading the bond.
He's falling asleep.
It's somewhat dry. As
oh my gosh, I've read those documents and it's painful.
There's no litigation updates. You can say no.
Not really, because we're still going through the discovery process.
Okay, cool.
And we've had some
session.
Yeah, not really, because.
Okay.
All you need to know is we're going through discovery right now, and it'll take us a while to get through it.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay, any questions on the department updates? I feel like, I feel like there was the giant Bowen and Collins report in the packet, and I don't feel like, was it not on the agenda?
The, how it was, it was, The master plan? Or?
Yeah, so we include the IFFP just for your reference, keeping everybody informed as we're making progress. But there's no update since the presentation in board retreat, essentially. So we didn't prepare a second presentation. But it felt a little bit redundant, but now you have a finalized copy if you ever wanted to reference.
Okay.
Sam, what's the Browns Canyon connection?
So that's the general name that Promontory uses for the roadway connection. Their third point of egress that's required as part of the development that moves south, connecting Promontory to Browns Canyon Road. So it's part of their phase two of their master plan, their expansion of the south. It's essentially the greatest area of growth for Promontory in the future, by a wide margin, actually.
So Mike, this is the area. This is the existing road platform as they have it built right now. So this is Browns Canyon. Here's the 248 and 40 interchange. Here's the Browns Canyon interchange. So if you go just past the county line, there's an existing road platform put in there. So it's this area.
So what are we doing with it?
As it relates to the IFFP? Sorry. I'm following you up. So obviously water line infrastructure is going in as part of the project. However, they only need the water line to travel to their guard station, essentially, near the intersection with Browns Canyon Road.
Okay.
We feel, and folks in the past have felt as well, as part of the 2019 IFFP as well, a similar project, is it'd be a good opportunity to upsize the line, extend to Browns Canyon, to kind of future-proof that area of the system. If we were ever to expand or had additional customers, there are additional landowners that we've had preliminary meetings with along Browns Canyon Road, those parcels that Chris is kind of hovering over. So
we just met with Promontory this week. They have some soil issues on the proposed line, so it may be rerouting right there.
We just participating in a upsize.
Totally. It's a betterment. So I feel like it's a cost effective way to, future proof the system.
If we're headed out that way, because that's county out there.
Yep.
Is that, and
it's not minimal cost, but I mean, it's substantially reduced cost to get a, for example, if they need to provide an 8-inch water line, just to upsize it to 12, the trench isn't getting much bigger. It's a nominal, upcharge and pipe diameter going there. So. I think the timing is right to do it instead of, doing it after the fact. It would be an order of magnitude larger project.
Is this stuff, are these parcels in the district boundary currently?
That one is. That's annexed. Oh, sorry, I misunderstood you.
Yeah, these are not. The district boundary ends at the Promontory boundary.
Exactly.
So, however, this piece is Promontory's. However, we have had discussions with, owner of that 90 acres that are there, but nothing's happened.
Same owner owns all four of those parcels bordering Promontory and Browns Canyon Road.
Do they have any rights or infrastructure?
No, they were trying to negotiate with Promontory as they needed snow storage and other things.
What about the other people down Browns Canyon Road? Aren't a bunch of those homes on well water?
Most of the Garth Ranch parcels have individual wells.
And we've had other discussions.
I know there's a few parcels on that road that actually have really good, like anomalously high production rates for small wells.
Yeah, so these people in here, we've had conversations too. I think these are currently zone 140. They want to go range, but some of the elevations and everything through there, I think it would make it hard to develop, but they've also called saying, you're coming close. Can you, but they have those conversations haven't gone either.
Okay. Good to think about.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sal. Thank you.
Okay, questions on department update? No question? Okay. Then I'd like to adjourn at 8:04.
Great job.